Hello, this is Daryl War for a, quote, regular, unquote, October 2021 show, A Conversation with Tito. Tito is an old friend from my husband's high school days that you might have read a little about either on DreamWidth or on WordPress. I've talked about him before. I remember my phone friend said, who's it? Is that a character? Well, yeah, he's quite a character, but not a fictional one. So it seemed to just happen so suddenly. I knew that he was going to come visit. It'd been a long time. Everyone had, you know, certain safety precautions in place, and we all needed it. We needed it. He has not been out here for about 9 or 10 years. It was good. It was amazing. And we hadn't heard from him near the end of his trip, so I guess he just spent like a whole day by himself, just in the area. Then he wasn't sure which phone number to call, and then me and my husband were playing train dominoes, and he just showed up, and it was like, okay. And it was the last day he was going to be in town, so that gave me the opportunity, well, can I have you on for one of the extra shows? And he said, yeah, all right. But it's very slapdash. This is all very slapdash. I should have said earlier, this podcast I am marking explicit, because as much as I edited, there was no way in hell I was going to get all of Tito's swearing out. I was really surprised when he visited. I was like, he's swearing more than Jonah does. It was kind of amazing. I was like, all right. Mostly F words, some S words. We both sort of went in that way. And since this is marked explicit, if you don't want to hear it, turn it off. But that gives me the opportunity to quote Martin Donovan in Dark Shadows 2004, the unaired WB pilot, who played Roger Collins. I was so happy with that guy. I mean, like some of you know, I love the Dark Shadows film 2012, just as Tito does. So welcome, anyone who is a fan. I have posted an entry where I said I found fans of the film to be the nicest. And yeah, I'm not going to cover it up anymore because I realized that was causing more harm than good. So because this is marked explicit, that gives me the opportunity to applaud Martin Donovan as Roger Collins in 2004 pilot, because I was very disappointed. That was the one disappointment I had in the 2012 film, was the Roger Collins character. I loved Louis Edmonds, the sarcasm guy. I can't remember that much about the 1991 guy. But whoever wrote that was amazing for the 2004, and Martin Donovan I'd seen in other things, and I was just so grateful, because it was sort of like redeeming the disappointment from 2012, Roger Collins. I'm not sure if I'm getting this quote right, but one of my favorite things that Roger Collins said, Victoria Winters was like, looking at the estate, it's beautiful, she said. And that Roger Collins said something to the effect of, like a lot of beautiful things, it's a bitch to maintain. And I was like, oh, that is Roger. With more hair. It was so true and so Roger Collins. I was really, really happy with that man's performance and the writing of it. And it's funny because Tito, our friend, he tends to be quite a film snob. Just, this wasn't a good film, or this, you know, this was excellent, or he was really picky. And he went to go see Dark Shadows 2012. And he wasn't exactly raving to me about it, but he was like, I really liked it. Like, he was surprised. He doesn't know the original. And I don't think he watched 91 Revival. He just went into it at face value and really enjoyed it. Felt it was quite a good film. Now, this is coming from somebody that we know as a major film snob. And I think as I wrote on my WordPress blog, there you go. Because I know a lot of the hate for it is manufactured. Like, a lot of hate now is manufactured. You get all these dopamine rewards thinking that you're getting all this approval from actual human beings. And some of those rewards, it could just be somebody vegetable going through the news feed, just clicking everything. You know, this can't be real approval. Somebody just clicking everything. It's like they're just hitting the arrows on their remote control. So we just invent all this crazy stuff in our heads. And also, for fans of the 2012 film, there's a way that you find out that the hate is manufactured. There's nothing about the narrative. Nobody is nitpicking anything about the narrative. They're just saying, it wasn't very good. It was a sad joke. It shouldn't have been a comedy. They just say these generalized things, and that's how you know. Now that I've said that, we'll see if some people attempt to try and remember what the hell the narrative was for the 2012 film and claim their hatred is real. But I doubt it. I doubt it's even going to get that far. So that's all you got to do. Are they pointing out anything in the narrative that really bothered them? Not really. It's just generalized hate for rewards. There you go. Pavlov's dog. And then it was funny because Tito's been so untainted by a lot of that stuff. I was talking to Melissa and telling her, oh, yeah, you know, our friend Tito's in town, and he's really confused by DS fandom. She's like, what is he confused about? I'm all, the same thing you and I were confused about when we started corresponding in 2015. The confusion itself. And we were basically talking to each other, just going, yeah, it's like all these people, whatever happened, they just don't know their own show. They don't know the story. They don't seem to understand the characters. And it's a mind blow, and Tito just couldn't understand that. I'm just like, he's confused by the confusion itself, just like we were back in 2015. And Lisa's been confused by the confusion for a whole lot longer. Yeah. Tell you, these people won't even understand your narrative because they don't understand any other ones, whether it's the technology tricks or something else. So this conversation was put together very slapdash, but Tito was willing and we were happy with it, knowing it would be edited too. We go through all the shows in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows audio drama one by one. So this is far more about the bonus helper shows than the original DS. We also go on about various actors and some segues, trying to discern similar movies or related things. I think the only one that went on too long was for Edward Mulhare in Knight Rider, just to place what type of character he played. Overall, it's pretty sane discussion about entertainment, which I don't see happening very often anymore. Also, I give Tito some bonus points for recognizing Fred Gwynne from another movie unrelated to the Munsters. I've wanted to have that kind of thing in this show for a long, long time. And I was very happy about that part, especially. We also go through some Charles Addams drawings when discussing the Addams family. So yes, there was obviously something the 1960s show was based on, and it's good to run through that a bit. I almost neglected Bewitched, but I got it in there before the end, and Tito is very sarcastic in his claims of not recognizing Bewitched at first, since it's the show we all tend to have been the most exposed to. Anyway, because Tito likes the film, he'll discuss it very casually with us. He has little to no knowledge of all the bashing, and when he thinks of Barnabas, he thinks of Johnny Depp. And I'm fine with that, because, as I've said before, I used to recommend the original series a lot, but I have been far more wary too these days considering the results I've seen from viewers, which is scarier than the show itself. It really is. Maybe that has to do with psychological flashbacks it causes. Maybe it's from commercial social media. Maybe both. But whatever it is, I'm fine with Tito doing commentary for The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and only knowing the 2012 film. His 1960s nostalgia is good enough for me. I want to finish the show, and he's already been extremely supportive in this creative endeavor. Now, it'll start a little garbled. I had to edit a lot, but hopefully it'll work out and people will understand who is who and what show and movie is what as we move along. Enjoy or endure.
Okay. So I've turned it on, and this is kind of a good opening for the Tito show, which is...
The Tito show. Should I be quiet or can
no, yeah, we're just whatever.
Well, if what you say sucks, I'll just edit it out.
Well, I gotta edit that out.
You can leave it in, I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want
to. Okay, that's... Oh, you gotta edit that out.
Yeah?
Or no, you don't, I guess, because you said...
No, I just... Whatever, because I keep my copy for me to enjoy, and then I edit a bunch of stuff so that other people that I don't know not admit.
Sorry. No, I get it.
There's so many layers. I'm like, actually plug these products on the podcast.
Well, yeah, I could just say, here's another person who said,
Aquafina,
come over to us.
I think the two work great together.
Wait, what?
Because if you're eating Clif Bars, you need to drink a lot of water.
Hey, you got your Aquafina in my Clif Bar. Okay. You got your Clif Bar in my Aquafina.
Let's share.
Oh, and Humane Tech? Oh, is this...
Like it's a minimal useful-like product when it's done.
Sounds on the plastic. So this is about hanging out online, talking to whoever through whatever previous Humane Tech podcast that... I wrote them a card and I said, there's only so much I do, this is why I'm mailing you cards.
Let's start off with some questions. Anyone have any questions?
Oh, well, I was actually, one of the things that I thought is because when you saw the picture of Lily Munster, you started saying Dark Shadows, and I'm like, oh, you know what, maybe I should show them all the DVDs. And there would be a nice climax to that, getting to the big soap opera, because it's a big box. It's a big box.
Oh, jeez, the coffin box.
Yes.
Damn.
So I'm just looking to see what do we got. I would actually go get physical things. Brittany, I think
it's been...
Is this
the Internet of Things?
Yeah, it's just one of the sites that I check stats on frenetically, or whatever the word would be, but...
Excuse me, my oven is phoning me.
Better answer that.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Part one of my presentation of what the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is, because I got a little worried when you looked at Lily and said Dark Shadows, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
So, I'm going to tell you the differences and the approximately how big the content is. Now, this is all we've got for the kids in the hall. This is VHS, but it's bigger. It's probably like...
Yeah.
Was it about 6 years? I don't remember.
Five or six years?
Yeah, well, 5 or 6
I'm
years.
Not sure.
So they're there. That's why it's the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, because...
And we don't have a copy of Brain Candy, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got the soundtrack. Not that that's the same, but yeah.
Does the soundtrack have the that band that they made up for the movie? Like the super
It's not cut like it is in the movie. It's like you
Happiness Pie or whatever that was.
Oh, well, yeah, that's in there. that's in there pretty much.
I like
as
the metal
is.
Song, too. It's like, I work alone.
That's gotten me through some hard times, that song.
Yeah.
Because I think there's something about humor in it, too, where something about being funny. But, I feel that guy, as comical as he is, that metal singer or whatever, Bruce McCulloch, was like...
You've tapped into something.
Can't do this.
This is bullshit.
This is bullshit, you people.
Like, just hits the microphone.
It's bullshit.
I like this way he like rotates his head somehow. It's so funny. He's just like good head rotation.
So okay, so the
Clue.
Clue. That's where the Butler Wadsworth comes from. Is okay. This movie? So Clue. All these other characters are just not really.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it's the. There he is. He's at the bottom there.
Okay, let's take a look at Wadsworth.
Yeah.
Should I
go ahead. So just...
I'll be taking them.
I've got other copies. I do actually give it to people. Unfortunately, I keep giving it to the wrong people who don't watch it.
They're all, thank you, I just made $2. Yeah, I just made $3.95.
I'm going to get 50 cents for this at the local store.
Pretty much. Because, there were a lot of copies. I pretty much cleaned out one
Wadsworth.
Media store. And that was nice, because I was just, all I had to do was go through the clearance and just be like, oh, here's another copy. I probably bought 10 over there.
Is that Eileen Brennan?
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
That's
Eileen
cool.
Brennan.
Have you guys seen Murder by Death?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, I tried to see it with my cousin. He was like, just one of those things where sometimes when I watch a movie with my cousin, the movie just dies in front of us. It's like, I thought I liked this movie, but.
Yeah.
God, it's. A lamer, but I think it's a good movie.
Some of it I thought was really funny,
maybe
but
that's it,
overall I was kind of like, well, where's another funny bit?
Yeah, there is some kind of really funny bits. Yeah, so that might be one of those things about the movie. Eileen Brennan's great. Who else is? Madeline Kahn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good. And then Christopher Lloyd, Leslie Ann Warren, Martin Mull. And Michael McKean? I think, and Jane Wheatland is a cameo.
No shit?
Yeah.
Cool.
She likes to see him singing Telegram Girl. Oh, that dude from WKRP is in
Howard
there.
Howard Hessman.
Thank you.
A small role,
but little more than a cameo. And he's great because before you know who he actually is, he pretends to be somebody coming to the door to sell you God.
Howard Hessman. Who did he play in WKRP?
How much for that God in the Window?
Well,
he was Johnny Fever.
Oh, thank you. He was Johnny Fever. He plays police officer, but initially when he comes through the door, which is like a trick, he's like, hello, have you ever given any thought to the kingdom of heaven? And then Eileen Brennan, who is Mrs. Peacock, like, what? He's like, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. At this point, tons of people in the house have died.
Yeah.
So he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and Miss Scarlet says, you ain't just whistling Dixie.
Yeah.
That he says, Armageddon is almost upon us, and Christopher Lloyd, Professor Plum, I've got news for you, it's already here. And it's because all these people have died, so it's like, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's a bloodbath.
And he's just like, because, I mean, Mrs. Peacock answers the door, she's like, whoever it is, they have to go away, they're going to get killed. You know, that's why she opens the door. But after the Armageddon thing already being here, she says, go away. He's like, your souls are in danger. She's like, our lives are in danger, you beatnik. And the reason that it's beatnik and not hippie is because it's 1954.
Okay.
So they couldn't say hippie.
Hippie wasn't quite, the long hairs weren't.
Yeah. So Wadsworth's in it a lot, but he's not in the game, he's just in this flick.
Okay.
And also, I had a little cameo with the guy from The Time Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Victoria Winters travels through time, so I thought I'd make a joke where she's like, you know, when I came back, I saw something. And you hear the music, and it's like, there's this guy, a big machine with a spinning disc at the back, and they're like, well, what happened? And he's like, he seemed more surprised to see me than I was to see him. So she's coming back from the past. She kind of cross-angles with George from The Time Machine very briefly. And yeah, then there's one episode with Sophia, mainly, from The Golden Girls.
Nice.
And then it gets bigger, and that's when I started just shooting straight for 60s. So this is what I have of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. It's just one disc each. And yeah, there's like quite a few. It's just because they're got boxes each. It's not condensed into like some Uber box or
collection.
There's only two
Uber
seasons.
Box. So it's crazy.
It's two seasons, so that's 1960s Ghost and Mrs. Muir TV show.
Okay.
From...
It's
Edward
is that
Mulcair.
All 2 years?
I think so. I think that's there's one I haven't even opened. Yeah,
pardon my ghost.
Edward Mulcair was the British guy in Knight Rider.
The voice of Kit?
No, not the voice of Kit.
Okay.
He actually was like a white haired guy in Knight Rider.
Was he
the kind of studious proper dude that Michael Knight was always like?
He wasn't a cop, was he?
He
was kind of hoping.
Like,
he was like a technical oversight guy running the technology.
I don't remember at all, so I'm looking at you to answer his question.
I always think okay, Batman had like his butler who kind of handled the
paperwork,
technical stuff, like, you know, sort of like it's a Bond or kind of dropping James Bond into it. What am I doing? Okay, let's go to Bond then. Bond had what's his name? Alfred.
Batman had Alfred.
But yeah, there was some character, I was going to mention Bond.
See, that's why I'm no good
there
at
was,
this.
But I think Judy Dench played that character once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I saw that one, yeah.
So it was the same name, but that Judy Dench played that character.
Well, you know what
character.
I mean? Like,
so,
Michael Knight.
Yeah.
I thought that was Money Penny or something.
No.
But you're on the right track as, like, you know, the person that you report to who's sort of off in the distance but looks really studious and professional and all that.
Yeah, and it's like
British.
And he makes you aware of the risks. And that adds to the thing. It's like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? So I got this. And this guy's, like, pushing the envelope. And this dude's like, okay.
Yeah, you're on the right track because the guy that Edward Mulcair played on Knight Rider was a similar character, where the studious British person who wants everything done correctly, and but you're dealing with a maverick who a wild card. So anyway, he plays Captain Grave in the 60s, so he's much younger.
Okay.
But the reason that show happened was because of this film, which is also based on a book. So there was this film prior to that 60s show, but I'm using the 60s show in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, whereas this is Rex Harrison and Gene Turney.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's based on a book.
I totally recognize that guy.
Yeah, he's Professor Higgins in My Fair Lady.
He looks like he'd be a guy who, like, couldn't get Vincent Price. So.
Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. Doolittle, okay. No, he's a little more friendly looking than... He seems like he, yeah.
So anyway, so that movie, based on a book, was the reason that this 1960s Ghost of Mrs. Muir series came to be. It, like, was in everybody's minds, that kind of thing. And I've even seen fan work where people are doing the movie, and it's over at the TV area, and people are like, this is, you shouldn't be here, it's filed wrong! And they have a kind of a twitchy fit.
Interesting.
But anyway, so that starts episode 4 in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows.
Oh, those characters, okay.
Yeah, so it's like Hope Lange and Edward Mulcair, but Captain Greg and Mrs. Muir, but updated, because this was like turn of the previous century. Because that movie was like that was dated much earlier, where this was at the time modern, but for us, 1960s. So
Captain Greg wasn't in Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows.
Yeah, he's also plays a big role in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. I thought I'd have it for a while.
Is there any crossover in cast between any of these products?
I want to say yes, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
What's crazy is Bill Bixby actually plays in one episode of The Ghost of Mrs. Muir.
Yeah. Seems like you get a lot of people running in and out of this.
Oh, you know who else was in there as a ghost? Dom DeLuise. Super young.
Wow.
So yeah, I know all these other people, but I can't remember if there was any, like, Like, I know more actors from Dark Shadows in much newer productions.
Okay.
But anyway, we're not there yet. So, Ghost of Mrs. Muir comes in, episode 4, and then I think it just sort of...
How is the Ghost of Mrs. Muir continued? Was there a cutoff?
Yeah, that... it ended in about, I think, 69, I think. I can't remember, because I don't have
and
my notes.
And for your pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, is there any commitment to continuing characters introduced, or themes, narratives introduced from this...
Yeah, there's no... I try not to do any too much bonus stuff other than why everybody knows each other. And I hit, when it was just a hobby and it wasn't a big deal, I had a previous incarnation of somebody be friends with this ghost who died in the 1860s. However, that person probably died a lot earlier, so I decided that they became friends as they were both ghosts at the time. But then he's reincarnated into this other guy in the 60s, so I figured out how to make them friends... Which at first was like, I was like, ooh, I mistake that. How could I make this? I could make it work. They were friends as ghosts.
Okay, yeah.
So, because he...
Ghost friends.
Yeah, they were friends earlier. So then, I'm trying to remember, so 5 has a little prisoner. 6 at the end, there's Psycho, there's Norman Bates, somebody goes to the Bates Motel. And at the end, they have this letter of where they're going to go next, which is... The Addams Family, although there's multiple discs in those boxes.
Yes, this is the shit right here. Gomez.
Yeah, the old 60s version. Yeah. Which I knew the movie's better, but if I'm shooting for 60s, I gotta get to know this one better. Yeah. And it works a lot better. So, initially, I was gonna have this couple from the Dark Shadows universe run away from the Addams Family. I thought, oh, it'll just be another funny Bates Motel, Twin Peaks thing. And then when I did the research, I'm like, well, I want to get these characters accurate. No, they got to stay. These people are great. This is where they land. Uh-huh. It was not my first idea for those characters to stay there, but it worked so darn well that it's like, yeah, I have to have them stay.
Very cool.
And then I get consultation from Jonah, who's a big fan of the Addams Family. And yeah, so they come in at the end of 6, which you've heard and talked about. You barely touched it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why 7 is where they come in. And I even remember doing a little demo when I started doing demo recordings. And I had just this little scene, and I did my best. And I turned around and I said, that's as much as I can give you right now for the Addams Family. Because I was just trying to get it as right as possible.
Hmm. Pugsley.
Yeah.
It's turned into a chimp here.
And that is where its continuation in the pit, because their series ended 66, I remember.
Which, Addams Family or the Monsters had a longer run.
No, they both were, it was almost precisely the same.
Simultaneously.
Two seasons, they both got cancelled.
So, that's a trip.
Yeah,
they seem like they're like right in the same slot. Like,
they were out at the same time. I think
it's like someone must have thought they were like this is going to be the future of American television, and then someone else said no, we can't let that happen.
Well, of course, those are based on the Charles Addams drawings from I think the New Yorker.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so that is where that started, and then of course I've got a big book on that, and Jackie Coogan, who played Fester, he was racing for the role. He went and shaved his head, just all kinds of stuff. He wanted it so bad, because he loved the cartoons.
For the 90s
movie? No, this is
the 60s. That's right, the original guy. That's right, sorry.
Christopher Lloyd is Fester in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jackie Coogan was like a child actor way back when, right? Like in the 20s or something?
I think, yeah, I'm not sure. I have the book, but
yeah.
I'm going to be through to try and dig around. But yeah, so he was racing. He loved the Addams Family cartoons in the New Yorker so much that he was racing to go get the role. Did all kinds of stuff to get it.
I remember my parents had a compilation of New Yorker cartoons, and like there is kind of an Addams Family joke in there. I'm not sure it might be by that artist, which would make sense, but I kind of thought it was a spoof. I didn't see the date on it, you know what I mean? So that would be the thing, because it probably would have some kind of... I assume it would have a date on it, but the joke is... There's like a Morticia style or whoever she's like sitting at a table and then one of, you know, like Lurch or something, like some Frankenstein style 8-foot tall dude is behind her, like trying to tell her something. And then like, she's like caught off guard. It's like, oh, it's you. For a moment, you gave me quite a start. Like she was surprised. And they
Oh.
The joke is...
This is somebody that, yeah, they
should
be scary.
They're supposed to be scary, but it's like she's surprised
it's her every day. It actually is her every day.
So that's kind of a funny joke. I don't know if that's somewhere.
Oh, it does. It rings a bell.
Yeah, I think it's in here.
It has some very gothy...
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
this is a bunch
example.
Of stuff, which is just Charles Adams stuff, so...
Yeah, and my big Adams Family focused...
There it is. It's got Adams Family stuff in here as well as various stuff. Here's the thing you just described.
Yeah, that...
Oh,
wow. Yeah, that's a trip.
Yeah. Oh, it's you for a moment. Gave me quite a stoke, yes. That's the Morticia and Marge. Although they didn't quite have names until the TV show. And they brought Charles Adams
in. What would the date of this be, do you think? That'd be,
I'm not sure if this gives all the details.
A lot of numbers.
Yeah.
Now, of 189 drawings in this collection, 185 originally appeared in the New Yorker and were copyrighted in... And the years range from 1937 to 1969.
But I don't think
they give a specific, at least not in the front.
Yeah.
So for the Addams Family, when they started the show in the 60s, they actually brought Charles Addams in to name the characters because they had not been named in the comic.
Oh my gosh, okay.
So, yeah, and Pugsley was actually going to be Pubert, and they're like, hey, we can't do that, so we can't name Pugsley. Pubert, yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, which I think they named the third kid in the movie. In the 90s movies, but...
Follicle.
But then John Astin, if my sources are correct, the book that I read, John Astin was asked, what would you prefer, Rapelli or Gomez? And John Astin went with Gomez. So it was going to be Rapelli.
Those are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot of more of the family.
Yeah. It's cool. Wow. That sweet little lizard creature. Remember, you can have him as long as you feed him and take good care of him. When you don't, back he goes.
Oh, yeah, and I guess that's them on the cover, too.
Yeah.
I did not remember.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
So,
this is cool shit.
The end of 6 and one scene in 7, and then I progressed more as more time went on with the Addams Family, but by, I think it was 9, we introduced...
The monsters!
Alright. And all I have in there, I don't have Herman or Eddie or anything, it's just Grandpa and Lily that I have in episode 9. And it's because somebody from Collinwood is calling Lily, and I managed to just come up with Lily's a cousin, and the main person who knows her is Elizabeth. So, since they're on the phone, she remembers, I have Elizabeth Stoddard from Collinwood, remember Lily Munster as looking more like Yvonne Carlo, which is the actress who plays Lily Munster. Because I made up of this idea where when they're hanging out in the 40s before Eddie Munster's born, it's just that Lily wants to get away from Herman and Grandpa for a while, so she disguises herself. So that's why Elizabeth remembers her cousin not looking like that. Then as it turns out, when cousin Lily Munster arrives at Collinwood, at the end of episode 10, Roger opens the doors and just starts laughing. He assumes it's a costume. Oh, Cousin Lily, you're dressed up, great. You know, he's just, because he's chilled out so much. Yeah. But then Elizabeth gets to the door, and she's like, oh, and she faints, dead away.
Yeah, different reactions.
Yeah, because she remembers her looking more like Yvonne DiCarlo.
Oh, fuck.
Just regular Yvonne DiCarlo, not dressed up Lily Munster Yvonne DiCarlo. Which, and the reason that it was even funnier is because Joan Bennett, who plays Elizabeth Stoddard, also did classic movies. So,
yeah.
And Yvonne DiCarlo did too. I thought, yeah, this would be great. You know, just put two glamour shots of them from their old classic movies, those two actresses, and then boom.
Yeah.
And they're hanging out again.
Back. These are fucking crazy fucking images. Yeah. It's like kids taking nitrous with Uncle Fester or something. No, I probably... What? Was this dude My Cousin Vinny?
The judge, yeah. Fred Gwynne.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm sure he enjoyed that role way more than Herman. He did not like playing Herman. Because it was the costume was ghastly. He was just sweating all the time.
Uh-huh. I don't know if it's like lead paint or something back then or something like that.
He was so happy when they got canceled.
Yeah.
He was so happy. And I don't blame him. Because he did not like being constantly
recognized as
Herman. You know, he wanted to do other things. He did kids' books too.
Yeah, that's I recognize that from that book, I believe.
What, this
one? The unicorns. Yeah.
Oh, left behind. They missed the arc.
Then as we go through
my attempt to start season two. There's a little bit of MASH, a little bit of Hawkeye, all right. And then Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
So, I can't remember if there's anything else in there. There's a lot of cameos, there's little prisoner stuff. I remember you said at the end of your review for the one with the prisoner, you're like, be seen now.
Be seen now. Oh, really? That's great.
It was good. Your prisoner reference is sick. Be seeing you.
Scored big
so,
with the prisoner.
I don't have all the DVDs in the one box, but I will go and pull out the old box. So these are all the bonus characters. This is everything from the bonus. So you can get a sense of this is the size, length of these programs.
Yeah.
Most of them, you know, most of the ones really stuck is Ghost of a Hero was also 2 years. Coming together, helping.
I'm translating for the distance. You should got a mic in that other room. We gotta relay this shit. I was gonna relay your
screw that up real bad.
Oh. She can always edit.
This. There's that. So my big presentation, I've just flawed it, but that's okay.
Well,
so
it's not part
there's
of it.
That. Yeah. I have her. Endora comes in.
What the fuck's this shit?
It's been
I've never seen this before in my life.
It's crazy how much they could pack in there, but that was like on about 9 years.
Yeah, wow. This is a nice package, yeah. Darren, Durwood. Mm.
Two of them.
Yeah. There was, it's like, yeah, this is the later one, I think.
Yeah, he's the later one.
What I
understand is that they wanted to hire him first, but he wasn't available, so they got Nick York.
Lovely Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yeah. So when that goes back just for Bewitched, this is like the list of episodes.
She's like lecturing Santa Claus there. Oh my god.
Tiny worded list because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
It went on forever.
Jeez.
So I've just got them a little bit. I finally did a Darren episode too.
Darren. Oh yeah, there's what's in there. And there was what a cast. There's the original Durwood.
Yeah.
Was that one guy, kind of a warlock uncle or something?
Yes, Uncle
really
Arthur.
Funny.
I've actually kind of decided that he's.
He was a great like sort of voice actor in cartoons. I remember like the Hunnibuck.
Oh yeah,
cartoons.
And Charlotte's Web. He was Templeton, Paul Lind.
I think he was the Hooded Claw in the Wacky Races.
Yeah.
When
I did my blooper show.
I believe so.
When I did my blooper show, I was making fun of like how we would always just like. Grouse and complain and whine when we got our school photos back, and I was like, "Oh, my picture came out terrible. My hair, oh!" And then I re-listened to it later, and I thought, "I can do Poland."
Yeah.
And somebody, I was on a chat room, so I was all, "That is a really good skill to have. That is very fantastic."
Yeah.
So now we've completed more or less all the additives. So these.
Skip to the nutrients.
Yeah. All the additives of who's in the pit of ultimate dark shadows that are not dark shadows. Now, I will bring in the big one. And it will hopefully not scare you too much. It's like holding a child.
Baby, oh wow, you look like.
Lisa had been buying the DVDs one by one over and over again. I said, you've got to see the box, Lisa. It's like holding a toddler. So they're not all in there, but you get a good sense if you open it up and look.
It's kind of like a Al Pacino kind of picture there.
Yeah!
So, like, say hello. Ooh, this is a nice little package here, man. It kind of forms a human.
Yeah, and you gotta be careful because there's been a lot of counterfeits.
Okay.
Because they know they can make bank on the counterfeits, so they do.
Dude. Whoa. It's kind of creepy how you can kind of. Separate the dude into his midsection, torso, abdomen, legs.
The big book that comes with it. So Bewitched had like the tiny thing, but yeah.
It kind of helps though to, rather than go, okay, this is the one I'm keeping in order, like, well, no, actually, never mind. Because like all the leg parts, you'd have to use the numbers to keep that organized. You can just say, oh, that's definitely his shin.
And the reason is 5 days. The purpose is it was 5 days a week. So you got the half hour installment 5 days a week. I don't know when they took breaks, but they must have because subs do.
Jesus.
So yeah. So I remember one of my pen pals, like he was going through. He's like, yeah, I've seen some of these. How do you marathon that?
It was one of the best questions. How do you verify that?
Lots and lots of caffeine, and what else would you need?
Lots of food.
Lots of food, because that's a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you need an easily accessible restroom. I guess you'd have... Can you pause it for bathroom breaks?
Yeah.
And can you pause it to sleep?
You just go to the bathroom when nothing's happening, which is frequently.
Okay. That's perfect, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, dude. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's all these guys aligned with all that. But of course, the pit goes much quicker because I try to condense everything and just kind of shoot through. But yeah, whatever's missing, I'm not sure. And there's so many multiple discs in each volume in there. So yeah. So
you ever just go, so I figured just if feel I, like seeing...
I give you like physical hard copy comparison of what we work with in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadow. So that's all the problems, and these are all the helpful neighbors pitching in. Which was nice when I had... I wasn't sure... I thought of this years ago, how Darren would react if Samantha says, well, honey, I gotta do this thing. Oh, it's witchcraft. Oh, God. And then he hears the name. Those rich guys. Oh, he's like, in the episode, he's like, do you mean the Collins of Collinwood? Yes. And he's like, hot damn. He's like, and it's also, you know, he does advertising, so he's like, they got bank. You know, so I realized when
deep,
I was working
pockets.
With the Darren character, when I thought of it, I'm like, no, he would know who these people are, and he's like, I want to go too. I want to go too. And I have these wonderful ideas of Darren and Roger, like, having beverages together and just shooting the shit. Because Roger encounters the same troubles, the supernatural troubles, but he's very chill with it.
Yeah.
Especially in the pit. He's even somewhat chill in the actual show. Because he's always cracking jokes. He's very sarcastic.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, so I would just think, I just think of these, you know, Roger and Darren having a drink together. Well, they'd obviously have plenty to talk about other than business, where, you know, Darren has all these issues with Samantha, but Roger's seen all this stuff, and he just says, well, what do you do? He's like, no, you never get used to it. That's my idea. You never get used to it. But you just, you know, you do what I do. You crack jokes.
Yeah.
That's how you cope. Cracking jokes.
You make lemonade.
Yeah, that's why, you know, and that was episode 6, I think, we were talking about, like, you reviewed for the Elizabeth and Roger scene, and Elizabeth was worried, like, oh, we'd have, you know, we had surfers out there, you know, they hurt themselves on the rocks or whatever, then we'd have a scandal on our hand, and Roger's like, then we'd have a scandal on our hand? This estate is built on scandal, Elizabeth, where have you been?
Built on scandal. There's nothing more.
Yeah, where have you been?
Sturdier architecture.
So anyway,
for a show.
That's half-arsed execution of showing you the multiple contents.
Did you read the warning label? No, I'm just kidding. Looks like a. This shit will fuck you up.
There really should be, you know. And it's funny too when they go on to a cable station. For every episode, there's ratings. And they keep changing per episode.
Oh,
so it's like, you've got, like, you know, this one, maybe not so good for kids. This one, sure, let the babies watch.
It's like sliding into something kind of hardcore there.
Yeah.
And psychologically, it could be powerful. And, you know.
So, yeah, so it's
heavy,
it's
heavy shit.
Massive. And it's so
literally.
It is. And yeah, you just have to catch. You really, I mean, that's why I'm so disappointed. Like, where's the geekery? You need a lot of geekery to understand this thing.
Yeah, that is fucking. Sorry. You have to edit this. There's gonna be a lot of profanity as I search for the words. Swearing?
Will be there more swears or ums and ohs?
I can't control either.
Yeah.
We'll see what gets edited out. And.
But yeah, so when you see some of these characters. Sometimes with other people it gets difficult.
You're not hiding anything from me. I mean, that's the pile. There's not,
you know,
some stuff
that,
over
that
there.
Wasn't the pollution I wanted to cause, was to think that, because I've seen that before when people are like, oh, Dark Shadows, and it's like, no, that's the Musters, no, that's the Addams Family, no, well, they know it's the Addams Family, but no, that's Bewitched, that's Ghost Misadvere.
Right, and I'm going to say no. Intellectual property is sacred.
Property is a lie.
Let's burn a dollar bill together.
Ooh.
Let's set off that smoke alarm.
When I did Hawkeye, I realized, I mean, I was under so much stress, but in retrospect, I was like, you know, you probably should have just listened to Groucho and not Alan Alda. That, because if it comes out of, if I'm listening that and I'm trying to adapt to it, it comes out of my voice a bit better if I'm listening to somebody else. Because yeah, I'm like shooting for getting this out of me. If I try to adapt to some actors, I end up sounding like other actors.
I'm not trying to trip on you constantly. You've got to watch that guy.
Yeah, Melissa was trying to help me with the Barnabas voice, and I'm like, you know, I took all your advice, I did my best, and it just sounded like Elizabeth again. It just sounded like Joan Bennett. Well, yeah, go with what you were doing before. So I was like, okay.
Barnabas!
Barnabas! Johnny Depp has a specific voice. Very specific voice. I wonder if I can do a Johnny Depp imitation right now.
But I'm happy that you recognize Fred Gwynn from My Cousin Vinny. That's bonus points.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I was just like, oh. I think it was also in The Boy Who Could Fly.
What was Car 54?
Oh, that was before. Car 54, yeah. Where Are You? Yeah.
There's some cop show he was.
Oh, gosh. And then Helena reminded me that Yvonne De Carlo was in The Ten Commandments. I'm like, you're right.
Oh, man.
God. Yeah. I think I remember her in The Ten Commandments.
That's a movie with a lot, a very large cast, I'd imagine.
It's got everyone in the Bible in it, right?
Yeah.
Not everyone in the Bible.
And they begat various people, which begat us.
Oh my god, we've been begatted?
We've been begat. You've been begat.
Oh, that was, you sounds know, like a bug spray.
The old vampires I used to write, you know, like try to write novels about, I would try to cut that off, because I remember in other vampire novels there's all this, and this person, you know, bit this person, and this person bit, that was like the begat list in the Bible. It's like, I don't want to do that, so I...
You should do that, though, like, do... I mean, oh, like, I just play it straight. That'd be
I did it with a few. Like, one of my favorite...
Let's break it down, we'll save some time.
My favorite, you know, because it was all, a lot of the vampires, it was either by choice, or it was, hey, I want to live longer, but another one was during the Black Plague, so her twin sister was already a vampire, and she's like, well, I'll just save you. That was one of my favorite... You know, figuring it out.
Kind of presents this ethical problem.
Yeah, I was planning on him being... He was early...
I think he might be a vampire.
He was early 1900s, and he got, like, that big flu. So I was like, okay, so we can... It's like, well, we can extend your life. We don't know if you're going to survive.
Oh, wow.
Just getting found and...
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the other thing of just, you know, trying to keep people... If they're already sick, they're going to die anyway. Do you want the choice to keep going? Yeah, we'll wrap it up there, I think, because I don't know what else to add to as far as, like, topic content for The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. And,
all right.
But, yeah, because I just do these, you know, I've done these extras just because people didn't know how to talk about the narrative, but I thought they were just being lazy. No, they weren't.
Some magic talk.
They lost the ability to do it. That was what was happening that I watched happen. So anyway, but you still have it.
Good,
then
good.
Good to have you maintain being aboard. This ends the...
Thank you all for coming. And that's a good way to, like, end any meeting, because people will disperse, like, and run into the bathroom or wherever.
Yeah, I had a good burp for my Beetlejuice stuff. I'd like, it was just because I did it at the time. Oh, that's good. Leave that in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put some echo on that.
Oh, yeah.
Get some reverb.
Okay, so...
Let's all burp.
We're ending!
So... If you are wondering, that burp was not Tito. That was my husband. Tito just sort of responded to it like a good way to wrap up the show. And there you go. Yes, a lot of cuss words, but pretty sane even then. No bashing on characters, no manufactured hate for anything, or... Like I quoted Tito in my first show with Oisin Navoy, I mentioned Tito saying, you know, I used to like hating on things, but... Now that everyone wants to do that, it's taken the fun out of it. And yes, it has. So, I'd like to let you know I'm looking forward to doing more audio dramas, looking forward to anyone who can discuss the DS or other show content. It's pretty amazingly low. A lot of these old friends I mentioned to you, they were positive people who loved these old shows would step forward. But, unbeknownst to us, something more sinister was going on. And those elements you can uncork at humanetech.com through their podcasts, website, and the film The Social Dilemma. I was very grateful for the guy, Sandy, when he was told, "You're making me feel like a lab rat." And the response was, You are a lab rat. We're all lab rats. What was in the film, The Social Dilemma. So, I hope that my offerings of alternate sites and choices are helping the method of surveilling yourself, which is about the best you can do when it comes to surveillance and manipulation. Maybe you're fishing around on all my weblogs for something horrible because that is all you know how to do anymore. And that's why I point out in author's notes for my DS movie fan work what is happening to you. And what I really wish you wouldn't do, which is cater to these massive companies. Sure, once they were a force for the greater good, but now it's far more negative than a mixed bag. What is the better option? Maybe, obviously, don't focus on the negative. Dare I say it? Don't focus on the positive. Focus on the narrative, which strangely enough has the same suffix as the previous two. Negative, positive, narrative. T-I-V-E. Pick that third choice. And now, especially since this is an October show, I'd like to end with a little something spooky. It's from a musical group that brought Tito and my husband together back in high school, by The Stranglers. I didn't really like them when my husband discussed them as we got to know each other, but this song, it's a Halloween theme for me, and has been for years. Waltz in Black. And maybe as the laughter rises to a crescendo, this represents the endless characters in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. A title which blends a Kids in the Hall set of skits, The Pit of Ultimate Darkness, with Dark Shadows. My email address, xoisceythe@hotmail.com. Get in touch when you can, if you can. Take care, and happy Halloween.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.